I've spent a lot of time looking at windows, and not just because of the view outside. There is a specific kind of frustration that comes from watching a curtain rod slowly sag, or seeing a set of blinds hang just a half inch crooked every single time you walk into a room. It seems like such a small thing, just a few screws and some metal brackets. But windows are the eyes of your home. When the trim isn't right, or the hardware is failing, the whole room feels a little bit restless. I want to help you get to a place where you can pull those cords or slide those drapes back without that tiny wince of worry that the whole works might come crashing down on your head. We are going to talk about how to anchor these things so they feel like they are part of the house, not just hovering on top of it. Before we even pick up a drill, we have to look at what we are actually working with. Every window is a different puzzle. Sometimes you have a beautiful thick wooden casing that is just begging for a screw. And other times you are staring at a vast expanse of drywall with no idea what lies behind it. The first thing I always do is take a minute to just knock on the wall around the window frame. You are listening for that solid thud that tells you there is a header or a stud back there. Usually, builders put a double header above a window to support the weight of the wall. And if you can hit that, you are in gold country. But life isn't always that kind. And sometimes the place where the rod looks best is exactly where the wood ends. I remember one of the first times I tried to do this on my own, in a little rental apartment I had back in my 20s. I bought these heavy velvet blackout curtains because I was working the night shift and needed to sleep during the day. I walked into the hardware store, bought the cheapest plastic drywall anchors they had, and figured that would be plenty. I didn't even use a level. I just eyeballed it against the top of the window trim. About 3 days later, I woke up to the sound of a literal explosion. The weight of those velvet curtains had slowly surrendered to gravity, and the plastic anchors had ripped two gaping, jagged holes right out of the sheetrock. It looked like someone had used a pickaxe on my wall. I ended up losing my security deposit over those holes, and more importantly, I learned that you cannot respect the finish if you don't respect the physics. That mistake taught me that the good enough approach to mounting hardware is just a slow-motion way of breaking things. Now, when I approach a window, I start with a very clear plan for where the weight is going to live. If you are doing blinds, you are usually mounting inside the window casing. That is a lot friendlier because you are almost always screwing directly into wood. But if you are doing a curtain rod, you are likely mounting outside the frame. You want to go high and wide. It makes the room look bigger and the window look grander. I usually aim for about 4 to 6 inches above the frame and about the same distance out to the sides. This gives the curtains room to breathe when they are open. Let's gather what we need on the floor right beneath the window. You'll want your drill, a small selection of bits, a solid measuring tape, a pencil, and most importantly, a level. I prefer a torpedo level for this. Something small enough to sit right on top of the rod or the bracket. You also need to make a choice about your anchors right now. If you aren't hitting a stud, throw away those little plastic sleeves that come in the box with the curtains. They are almost universally garbage. Go get yourself some zinc self-drilling toggles, or even better, some toggle bolts if you are hanging something truly heavy. A toggle bolt has a little metal wing that folds up, goes through the hole, and then snaps open behind the drywall. It creates a massive surface area of support that a simple screw can't match. We start by marking our first hole. I like to start on the left side. I measure up from the top of the window trim rather than the ceiling, because ceilings are notoriously crooked. If you level your rod to a crooked ceiling, the rod will look straight, but it will be fighting the window for the rest of eternity. Measure up. Make a small vertical tick with your pencil. Then measure out from the side and make a horizontal tick. Where those two lines cross, is your bullseye. Once that first bracket is marked, I don't just jump to the other side. I hold the bracket up to my mark and use the bracket itself as a template to mark the second screw hole. Accuracy here is everything. If your holes are off by even an eighth of an inch, the bracket might sit canted, and that will translate to a rod that binds when you try to slide the rings across it. Now, let's talk about the actual drilling. When you pull the trigger on that drill, don't just mash it in there. You want to feel the bit bite into the paint and the gypsum. If the drill suddenly meets a lot of resistance and starts to slow down, stop. You've likely hit a stud or the header. That's great news. It means you can put the anchors back in the bag and just use a wood screw. But if the drill pops through into empty space, that's when the anchors come out. If you are using those self-drilling zinc anchors, you can actually use your screwdriver to hand-turn them into the wall. I prefer doing it by hand because it gives me a better sense of how the drywall is holding. You want to feel it get snug. If you over-tighten it with a power drill, you'll strip the threads the anchor made in the chalky drywall, and then you're back to square one with a loose hole. You want it flush with the wall, sitting perfectly flat so the bracket can rest against it without wobbling. With the left bracket loosely in place, we move to the right. This is where the level becomes your best friend. If you have a long enough level, you can run it from the top of the first bracket across to your mark on the right. If not, you rely on your measurements, but always double check. I like to hold the rod up between the two points, just to see how it looks to the eye. The human eye is incredibly sensitive to things being out of plumb, sometimes more than the tools are. Once both brackets are up, don't tighten the screws all the way just yet. Leave them just a hair loose so you can wiggle the brackets if you need to. Now, slide your rod into place. If it's a telescoping rod, make sure the seam where the two pipes meet isn't going to be right where a curtain ring needs to slide back and forth all day. Usually, I try to keep that seam toward the center where it will be supported by a middle bracket. That middle bracket is something a lot of people skip because they think the rod is strong enough. It might be strong enough today, but over 6 months of you pulling those curtains open and shut, that rod is going to start to smile at you. It will bow in the middle. Always install the center support if your window is wider than about 4 feet. It takes 5 minutes and saves you a year of looking at a sagging rod. To get the center bracket right, I usually just set the rod in the two end brackets and then hold the center bracket up until it's just touching the bottom of the rod. Mark it, drill it, and anchor it. Now we can go back and snug everything down. You want those screws tight. But remember, you are often working with decorative hardware. If you slip with the screwdriver, you're going to put a big silver scratch right across that nice oil-rubbed bronze or brushed nickel finish. Take your time. Keep your weight behind the screwdriver so it stays seated in the head of the screw. When you finally set the rod in the cradles and tighten the little set screws that hold the rod in place, give it a firm but gentle tug. It should feel like it's a part of the wall. There shouldn't be any crunching sounds from the drywall or any flexing of the metal. If it feels solid, you've done it right. Installing blinds is a similar dance, but with a bit more focus on the click. Whether they are roller shades, wood slats, or cellular blinds, they usually use a tension or a snap-in bracket. When you are mounting these inside the window frame, you have to be very careful about how far back you set them. If you set them too far forward, they'll stick out past the trim and look messy. If you set them too far back, they might hit the window glass or the handle used to crank the window open. I usually like to leave about a quarter inch of breathing room between the blind and the glass. When you screw those brackets into the top of the window jamb, you are almost certainly going into solid wood. This is the one time you really want to pre-drill your holes. Window trim and jambs are often made of pine or poplar, which can split easily if you drive a fixed screw into them without a pilot hole. Pick a drill bit that is just a little bit thinner than the shank of the screw. When you drill that pilot hole, you'll see little curls of wood come out. That's exactly what you want. It clears the path so the screw can grip the fibers without forcing them apart. Once those brackets are in, the moment of truth is the snap. You lift that heavy headrail up, hook the front edge into the brackets, and then push back and up until you hear that distinct metallic click. It's one of the most satisfying sounds in home improvement. It tells you the spring is engaged and the weight is locked. I always give the pull cord a few test runs before I call it a day. I watch the way the blinds stack up. If they are bunching on one side, it usually means one of my brackets is slightly higher than the other. It's okay to back a screw out a tiny bit and shim the bracket with a thin piece of cardboard or a sliver of wood to get it perfectly level. Standing back and looking at a finished window is a great feeling. You've gone from a bare, echoing opening to something that provides privacy, shade, and style. You've done it without making a mess of your walls, and you've done it with the kind of structural integrity that means you won't have to think about it again for 10 years. You didn't just hang a piece of metal. You mastered the space. Now that you've got the hang of anchoring things into the wall, we could take that same logic and apply it to something even more substantial. Would you like me to walk you through the process of mounting a heavy television? Or perhaps some floating shelves that can actually hold the weight of your books?